Glory to God. You know, this gospel is going to be preached unto all nations, and God is concerned about the sinner. He's concerned about those that haven't heard the gospel yet. And so this ought to be our focus. We're to train up disciples. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, be a witness, and also the resources that we have. God says he will give us seed to sow. So the resources that God puts in our hands is for one purpose and one purpose only. It's to help spread the gospel, fund and support it so that it can go forth and change men's lives, their hearts, and cause them to live a life that's full of abundance in the name of Jesus. So let's take a look as we open up this evening. We're going to continue on Love Never Fails, and I've entitled that message this evening, Love Never Fails. So let's look as we start this evening, let's look at 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 17 in the Message translation. I think it's good to look at this and feed upon it. And it says, "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments," there he is, we're his instruments, "to do his work and to speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted." If you've accepted Christ, you're accepted. He's your Lord, you're accepted, not rejected. Verse 11, "Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and there will and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They're God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules." In verse 17, "Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government." Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And then I just, you know, we're just going to run through some scriptures just to feed upon them before we jump in the lesson, kind of connecting Sunday. But the Word of God in John 3:16, talking about love, talking about the very nature, the heart of God, looking at, you know, when we talk about the Word of God, this is God speaking to me. So when we want to know what God's thinking, what was he thinking? Jesus told us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," isn't that a wonderful, wonderful news? "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This word life is zoe. It is the God kind of life. So we've been, as Colossians 1 says, we've been delivered from the power of God, and we've been translated now into what? The kingdom of his dear Son. So we're now in a new kingdom. We have a new Father. Hallelujah. And because of that, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," see, if you've accepted him, now you're where? In Christ. What does it say? He is a new creature. Or some say a new kind of being, a new kind of person. What does it say? A new creature. Old things have passed away. Well, you know, we say, well, if you're still tall, you're still tall. If you're still heavy, you're still heavy. No, that didn't pass away. What passed away? The old nature, the old dead man, the old hardened heart, that death-filled heart changed, and instantly, supernaturally, the power of God changed us. Isn't that what it says? I'll just read that. John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he" what? The power to become, or the authority to become, the sons of God. So continuing, sorry I jumped off here, but it says, "Behold, all things are become new." And verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ doing" what? "Reconciling the world," hallelujah, "unto himself, not imputing or holding their trespasses against them, and hath committed unto us the word," or the ministry of reconciliation. Glory to God. We're to go out and share what he's done for us, to share how good God is. Glory to God. So we go on, and this is just another scripture here, John 5:24. It says, Jesus speaking, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," he's talking about believing on the Father, "on him that sent me hath everlasting life," that's Zoe life, the God kind of life, "and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Glory to God. You know, I like to share the story when I was, you know, growing up, or, you know, that's why I say a lot of times it means something to me, because when I was going through college, I worked construction, and, you know, just hanging around people in construction, you know, they just cursed. Everything was cursing. And so, you know, that's why I say it's important who you hang around with. I ended up picking up that habit and just cursing. And so wasn't mad at anything or anybody, but just cursed, you know, because that's what they did. And so that became almost second nature to me. But the moment I got saved, the moment eternal life came in me, then what happened? Death left. A dead spirit changed to a spirit that was touched by eternal life. So I can tell you, the moment I got saved, that cursing left. It stopped. And so I thank God that he changed me. Glory to God, and I know he changed you also. But let's take a look at John 13:34. This is the evidence, we could say, of the new birth. So you want to know what the evidence is? Love is the evidence. And so John 13:34 and 35 in the Passion Translation, it says, "So I give you now a new commandment, love each other just as much as I have loved you." You might say, well, some might say, well, that's just not possible. How am I going to love the same way he loved? Because Galatians, what does it say? "It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me." So he already knew that we didn't have the ability. So he's already taken up residence. So this becomes not about ability. It becomes more about what? A choice. So we have to choose now to walk in love, because as we do, what does the scripture say? Faith without an action is dead. So that means when faith acts, the power of God is there to help me and to empower me to love those that are the unlovely, those that hate you, those that, you know, or despitefully use you. So here he's saying, continuing in verse 35 of John 13, "For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers." Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful news? Well, I want to start reading this evening, and I want to read from a few different translations of 1 Corinthians 13. But I want to start this evening by reading 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified, verses 4 through 8. And then I want to read from a few other translations that I think will add some insight into these scriptures. But the Amplified Classic of 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4, it says, love endures long and is what? Patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor does what? Boils over with jealousy. Love, you could say, is not boastful or vainglorious. Love does not display itself haughtily. And then it goes on, and it says, love is not conceited, arrogant and inflated with pride. Glory. And then it goes on. Love, it is not what? Rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. What's not self-seeking? Love. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Love takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. And then it goes on. And verse 6, it says, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. And then it goes on in verse 7, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. And this is our message title for tonight, verse 8. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. So here we see Paul is writing here in verse 8, love never fails. That means it lasts. Paul goes on after this. What does he do? After he says love never fails, he begins now to do what? Compare love to those things that do fail or come to an end. Isn't that interesting? So he indicates what? He begins to say that prophecy will be what? Fulfilled and pass away. What does that mean? It says prophecy will be fulfilled. In other words, It'll have fulfilled its purpose, is what I'm saying. It says it will be fulfilled and pass away. It'll have fulfilled its purpose and done what? It'll pass away. So you can see here that it doesn't last. Same thing here. We're talking about tongues or languages, you could say, will come into existence and at some point cease. We see through ages in history that languages have come into existence, and what has happened? They've come into existence and they cease. And so we see languages or tongues have not lasted. Same thing, knowledge will be what? Superseded with what? Greater knowledge, and it'll pass away. I mean, just take a look at this little gadget right here. We don't look things up in dictionaries and things like that and on paper. Inventions have what? Superseded knowledge that has come before us. What happens? It passes away. So the only thing that is going to last, the only thing that will never change, is the love of God. It never fails. And so wanted to just highlight, this is a book that I believe we carry in the bookstore. And you can, I believe you can get this online. I think you might be able to get this if, you know, we can wait until we open up. We're within a few weeks of opening here. But you might be able to get this. I think you might be able to get it through Billy Brim Ministries. But it's called The Greatest Thing in the World, Experiencing the Enduring Power and Love. It's by Henry Drummond. And of course, this was out of print for a while. It is available. And he lived in between 1851 and 1897. But he had some very, very insightful things to say about the love of God. And let me just highlight a couple of sayings he had here in his book, this little booklet. He says, "To love abundantly is to live abundantly. And to love forever is to live forever. Hence," this is what I'm reading what he said, "hence eternal life is inextricably bound up with love." And then he goes on to say, "There is no other reason why we should live on than that we love and are beloved." So he goes on to say, eternal life also is to know God, and God is love. There's very powerful statements here. And when we say eternal life also is to know God and God is love, then John 17, verse 3, this is Jesus speaking in John 17 in the King James Version. And it says, "And this is life eternal, that they might," what? "Know thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." So when you, and he says, this is eternal life, that you might know thee, the only true God. Well, when you know God, you know love. And so that's why he said here, eternal life is inextricably bound up with love. So when you have eternal life, you know God. You have become acquainted with him. You've become acquainted with God. You've become acquainted with love, the love that never fails. And he goes on. This is what Henry Drummond is saying here. "Love must be eternal. It is what God is." He says here, "On the last analysis then, love is life. Love never faileth, and life never faileth, because God is life." Where's eternal life? It comes from God. Well, if God can't fail, neither can eternal life, everlasting life. So he said, so long as there is love, love never faileth, and life never faileth, so long as there is love. Glory to God. So to be saved or a new person in Christ is to love. Let's take a look at 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16. And when we know him, then if we're a new person and in Christ, a new person in Christ will love. 1 John 4:16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that," what? "Dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him," meaning you and me. So this means here that if we know him and we've believed the love that God hath to us, this says here that God is love. "He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." Hallelujah. Something Brother Hagin or Kenneth E. Hagin said when he was alive, "A step out of love is a step out of God." So when you have, when you are, just what we just got done reading here, "He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." So a step out of love is a step out of God. Or you could say a step into sin. So when we don't love, that's enmity with God. So 1 John, let's look at 1 John in the King James, 1 John chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected or matured or come to maturity or fullness. Hereby know that we are in him. What did we just got done reading? I'm going to digress a second. What did we just got done reading in 1 John 4:16? He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God or in him. So this goes on here. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let's look at one. I'm going to read another translation of 1 Corinthians 13. But just before we do, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 6, 7, and 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, 7, and 8. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. If you're spiritually minded, that means you're operating in walking in love. And if you're walking in love, then there's what? Life and peace. And verse 7, because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God, for it, what? What's it? The carnal mind. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. And we could go as far as saying that the law of God, what is that? We're walking in love. We're operating in the love of God. Neither indeed can be, so then they that are in the flesh or a carnal mind cannot please God. Why can't we? Because we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And faith works by love. Now I'm going to read this. You won't see these words up on the screen, but this is a translation called the Hayford, H-A-Y-F-O-R-D, the Hayford translation of 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. It said, love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Listen carefully. This is a really a wonderful translation. Love is kind and active in doing good. Love does not envy, since it is non-possessive and non-competitive. It actually wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-effacing quality. It is not ostentatious. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but is graceful under pressure. Love thinks no evil. It does not keep an account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments. Wow, that's a choice you're going to have to make. You got to erase resentments. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in the shortcomings of others, and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Love bears all things, defending and holding other people up. Love believes the best about others, credits them with good intentions, and is not suspicious. Love hopes all things, never giving up on people, but affirming their future. Love endures all things, persevering and remaining loyal to the end. You know, when we see things here, you know, there's, when you just read some of the way this is translated, and it says here that we should not be spreading an evil report or finding satisfaction in the shortcoming of others and spreading an evil report. You know, and just the things, that's why I say it is so important, and we've all missed it in these areas. And when we miss it, we say, okay, Lord, you know, I didn't do that well. I didn't act that well. I spoke sharply here. I spoke out of turn. I wasn't gracious in the way I spoke. But we need to, when we fix it, make a determination next time I'm confronted with an opportunity or I find my flesh wanting to respond away, make a choice at that point. Don't just hold your tongue. Don't be quick to use this device here, this little device that we're so quick. You know, somebody said something to me recently that I thought had merit. You know, we have these little devices that we feel free to express our opinions on. And, you know, with great power, you know, because that gives you great power to express your opinions about things, with great power comes great responsibility. So you have a responsibility as a Christian to conduct yourself in a certain way. So even though we have great power to express ourselves, make sure that when we do, it is such that is, number one, directed by the Lord, but it's done in a way that does not rejoice at injustice. If we need to share some things publicly, do it in a way that's not divisive. I think that's what we're really saying. So Mark Hankin shared this saying he had, you can't grow in God without growing in love. And that is so true. You can't grow in the things of God and be not walking in love. You can't do it. Faith works by love. Now I'm going to read another translation. This is the J.B. Phillips translation. And this is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. It says, this love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. You know, when I read these different translations, it just says it in a different way, but sometimes it may register for your, you know, for the hearer. And so that's why we do this, so that it just may register with you. So it says here, let me start again. This love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. It is not possessive. It is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. It is not touchy. It does not keep account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, it is glad with all good men when truth prevails. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. It is, in fact, the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. Love never fails. So love comes from God. You know, we used to sing a little song. We can look at 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. We used to sing a song here for years, and many did. But love comes from God, and everyone in his family, if we're in the family of God, we can love like he loves. Why? Because we share his nature. We have eternal life. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is what? Born of God, and does what? Knoweth God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's look at, this is again, 1 Corinthians, verses 4 through 8 in the Passion Translation. And another translation, another way of saying these scriptures. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter. For it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat. It never gives up. Love, I like this here, love never stops loving. Love never stops loving. Glory to God. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to just give you, these are in Henry Drummond's book. Also, there's another book that you may want to get. As a matter of fact, if you reach out to Mark Hankin's ministry, there's a book that they're giving away free. I believe it's free this week. I'll give you the name of that. I think it's called The Love, the Secret to Success, I believe is the name of it. If you go to their website and look at it, all of his messages, again, like us, are free downloads. But we go to Mark Hankin's ministries, markhankins.org. And I believe you can request that book. It's free. They'll mail it to you. If you happen to be overseas and you request it, they'll send you a PDF of that file, of that book. So it's called Love, the Secret to Success. And I believe, you know, that it's a good resource. And he also references, in his book, he references Henry Drummond. And he lists 9 aspects to the love of God. He said, I'm just going to give you those 9 and we'll highlight those in another lesson. But he said, love is patient. This is an aspect of it. He says here, first of all, love is grace for imperfect people. Love is grace for imperfect people. Love is not in a hurry, but is persistent and prepared to wait. It is graceful under pressure. Love is kind. It's not envious. Love is humble. Love is courteous. Love is not easily provoked. These are the 9 aspects. And love is guileless and sincere. So we'll pick up again on those 9 aspects of love. But let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 14. I'm just going to read this from the Message translation. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. And I want to read it in the Message translation because I believe 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, to follow after charity and to desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. That's verse 1. In the King James Version, follow after charity, follow after love. Well, this is what the Message translation says of 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. It says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Wow. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. I'm going to read that one more time, because there's some things we go after in life like our life depended on it. Remember we said, this is God speaking to me. We want to know what God's will is. We look at his inspired word, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This is the Message translation, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Now listen to this. This is in the Amplified translation. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. You know, there's things that we try to pursue, or we have lifelong dreams to acquire something in life. You know, it might be something personal, might be some business goals, whatever it is, that personal quest. There's nothing wrong with those things. But this is saying here that we need to, you know, sometimes a quest or a dream or anything that dominates your life and holds your attention, this is a quest. So this is something that holds your attention. You know, if you have a quest in life, it captures your attention. So this is saying here that we're to do what? Make pursuing love our aim, our great quest in life. Because why? Faith worketh by love. And a step out of love is a step out of God. So we need to consider that. And let me just read this as we close. This is one more, another translation of 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. This is the Living Bible. It said, love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, boy, listen to this. This is verse 7. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. So when we say, well, what does love look like? What does love sound like? When you get done reading this here, you know, when we're to do what? 1 Corinthians, it says here that we're to show love one to another, and that kind of love is what the world is going to take notice. The world will know that we are disciples of him. And this says here, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, always stand your ground in defending him. So when we begin to walk together in unity and the love of God, the world is going to see a different kind of presentation from the body of Christ. It won't be fractured. It won't be separated and divided. It'll be doing what? Defending one another, being loyal to one another, doing what? Believing in each other, speaking good things of each other. And if we need to speak to one another, do it in private. Speak to somebody in private and say, look, my brother or my sister, you know, I see this and let's talk. But do it gracefully and not standing your ground defending one another. So there's more. I think the more we meditate on 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and I would encourage you, as Henry Drummond did in his book, he said, read that scripture, verses 4 through 8, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, Read it. Take a challenge and read it for 3 months, every day. Read that scripture. It'll change your thinking. It'll change your mind, change your heart. And you'll begin to think different, act different, respond differently. And it takes time. It's a process. So as we begin to meditate on that, things that may have bothered you, bugged you, as you know they say, or push buttons in your life, you're going to find that less and less those things that bothered you will bother you and irritate you. But you're going to find that the love of God will what? Consume you. It'll consume your heart, change your thinking. You know, I had an experience once in my life where I was overpowered, or I would say consumed, with the love of God. It was supernatural because I was in a setting where there were a few people I didn't like. And the Holy Ghost came upon me, and I had no thoughts of ill will, nothing. My mind was full. My heart was full of the love of God. It was supernatural. And I believe that we can reach that place here in this earth. Yeah, we may not walk like that with those kinds of anointings. That was a special kind of thing that I experienced. But I believe that as we meditate upon the Word of God, I believe as we act upon it, it says we'll be perfected in the love of God. I believe as we do that, we will walk in an anointing, and it'll change us and change our hearts, change our thinking, and that it'll be a demonstration to the world that the love of God is greater than what we're confronted with, greater than evil, greater than all of these evil forces that are at work in this earth. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this time that we have to just meditate upon 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And we believe and we decree that love never fails, comes to an end. But we thank you that those things that may be fulfilled, like prophecy is fulfilled and comes to an end. We thank you that tongues and knowledge, those things don't last. But we thank you that love lasts, it never fails. And Father, we thank you that the love of God is changing us, the Word of God is changing our thinking, changing our hearts, changing our attitudes, changing our emotions. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for opportunities to walk in the love of God. Thank you that love is greater than hate. Love is greater than the opposition that we face in this earth. For we know that the devil is the god of this world, but greater is he that is in me. And Father, we thank you for reminding us of that scripture. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he who, God, greater is love in us than hate that's in the world. And so we thank you for it, and we believe to receive additional revelation, additional truth, additional grace in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So just before we receive our evening offering, I just would invite anyone who's watching or will watch that you, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, if you've never made what we call a profession of faith, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the one that came to die for our sins, but you never professed that and asked him into your heart, then here's your opportunity. So let's make this simple prayer. Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, your only begotten Son. We thank you that you sent him here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And I thank you that he took my sins, took them to hell, took my sicknesses to hell. And when sin and sickness was paid for, we were released from the bondages of hell, and raised to new life, raised to justification. We were made right with you. And I thank you that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. I ask Jesus to come into my heart, and I now believe that I am saved. Now, if you made that simple profession of faith, you profess that Jesus is the Christ. He's your Lord. If you confess that he was raised from the dead, then you are saved. If you believed in your heart and said that with your mouth, the scripture says you're saved. And so let us know. Send us an email, contact us by mail or by phone, and just let us know that you asked Jesus to come into your heart, and we'll send you some information regarding who you've become in Christ. Glory to God.